Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bonza, g'day, and welcome to Trusty Hogs in Australia. We're going to be bush pigs. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an Australian version of Trusty Hogs.
I think what we need to say is we're going on tour, both of us.
Yes, sorry.
Australia. We'll both be playing. I'll be playing Melbourne and Sydney. You'll be playing Melbourne and?
Sydney and Brisbane and Perth.
Fabulous. I will be in Melbourne. I'll be at the Westin 3 at the International Comedy Festival. You can buy tickets for my show now. And at Sydney, I'll be at the Factory Theatre and you can buy tickets for my show now.
And in Melbourne, I'll be at the Greek, which I have looked on Google Maps and it is very close to Catherine's venue.
Woo-hoo!
Isn't that so cute? We're
I'll
super
pick
close.
Me up after.
And then, no, I think you'll be picking me up.
Oh.
I think.
That's
I need
standard.
To check that. But come pick us up. Come pick
come
us up.
Come pick us up.
Sydney, I'll be at the Factory Theatre with Catherine, and that's super close to the
cute.
Ice cream place. Brisbane, I'll be at Powerhouse. And in Perth...
Can a powerhouse be inside of a powerhouse? She will be.
I'll be bloody there. And at Perth, I'll be at the Perth Comedy Festival for the Regal Theatre.
Gorgeous.
And we're also bringing Trusty Hogs Live
yeah.
to Australia.
Melbourne and Sydney, bitches. It's on sale. I've never said bitches before in my life.
It like felt that. Really wrong.
It felt really weird. I said it and I was
bitches,
like,
get your tickets.
No, that's hideous. Well, anyway, see you there, Australians.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
No, we've been over this.
Aussie. Hoggy, hoggy, hoggy.
Yeah.
Oh.
We both got it wrong.
See you there. Is that your teeth? Which teeth? Back teeth? Are yours hollow? Sounds like you've got wooden teeth. listen to the Glockenspiel. One second. Go. Do it again. That's really fucked up.
Welcome to episode 126 of Trusty Hogs.
Go to the doctor about
I hope that's in. Well, I'm not going to the doctor about my wooden teeth.
You've got wooden teeth.
I'll just polish them up. They'll be fine.
That's such a weird
Let's hope sound. I don't get mites. Hi, this is a new episode of Trusty Hogs, your favourite podcast by comedian Catherine Bowart and Helen Bauer.
Comedian Helen Bauer.
Comedian Helen Bauer. Otherwise, there's no reason for you to do what you do.
No, I want to be a party girl instead. Call me party girl Helen Bauer.
Party girl. Okay, fine. I'm trying to think of one party I've seen you willingly go to.
Let's take ecstasy and dance naked.
You would do the dancing naked without the ecstasy. And yeah, and this is an episode of just the two of us. Usually we have a guest, but we have so many problems, backlogged problems,
and
that we
we've
must.
Both got problems.
And
too.
Yeah, and we also have problems that we must do a mailbag special. And so here we are. Welcome.
Through the fog, step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah. Give them your problems and they will solve them, or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
I have a confession. I ate
too much
cheese just before. I'm full and kind of weird. I feel weird.
You smell like fondue as well.
Do I actually?
There's a cheese vibe.
I'm so
How
sorry.
How much did you eat?
Okay, so you know that Italian place that you like on
yes.
Greek Street?
In
well,
Soho.
I went there. And, oh God, it's hard to breathe and talk at the same time. And I got what looked like a normal size of slice of vegetarian lasagna.
Okay.
Courgette, pistachio, ricotta, mozzarella. But
it is the most charming Italian deli.
It transpires that the piece was like dense, like beyond my imagination. And there was basically like three slices of courgette. The rest was just pasta and cheese. And it was divine. Oh my God, it was divine. Whoa, was it good. But also I feel tired and sleepy and sick and sore. But also, yeah. I'm coming off a weird night, if I may. I'm coming off a weird night.
What happened last night?
Oh, Helen, it was my last preview before my Soho Theatre show starts the tour.
And you thrived? No, but is okay.
You know the need you go into your last preview with. You know, okay, so if you don't know this, I'm starting a Soho Theatre run on Monday, which is the start of my tour. Basically, the show has to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Lichfield, which, as we've discussed on this podcast before, is the furthest place away on the earth. And I went to Lichfield, and first and foremost, I'm going, and I'm like, I'm going to read my notes on the way. I treated myself to a train.
In the car? Okay.
I treated myself to a train.
The worst newly qualified driver.
Treated myself to a train, because as you know, I've been driving all over the country, and hey, I've been exhausted.
Can I also say, I trained to Lichfield recently. It's actually a pretty easy train.
Well, funny you should say that, Helen.
No, what did you do?
Funny you should say that. First of all, I get to the overground where I live, and it keeps saying it's coming, but it doesn't come. Keep saying it's coming. I try to get an Uber, but everyone's trying to get an Uber. So I can't get an Uber. Keep saying it's coming, but it won't. I'm there for 27 minutes. I know at this stage I'm going to miss my first train to Lichfield, my first option to get there on time. That's okay, because I've left for time for two, because I'm not a psychopath. Yeah. Then I get onto the overground. It starts to move, but then it stops. But between places that you can get off, which means that I'm then there stuck, knowing that I'm going to miss the second train to Lichfield, which now I know it's not. I'm not going to make it on time. So I call the venue. The venue agreed that they'll come and pick me up at the station.
Is it the lovely venue, the church?
Exactly.
Oh, the person that runs that?
Divine.
Honestly divine.
So then I'm like, wicked, I'll get that train. I'm going to be 20 minutes later than the show starts when I get into the train station. Uh-huh. But we'll go up half an hour late. I get there. I obviously desperately need to pee, but there's no way into the venue unless you go basically by the stage. So I had to go in, get on the stage, say, hey, sorry I'm late. Also, sidebar, been holding a piss since none eating. Can I please go to the toilet?
While the audience are all sitting there,
they're like...
Just down the side by the bar?
Yeah. I run into the toilet and this woman goes, somebody needs the toilet badly. And I was like, I don't have the shits. I just... Your husband's waiting for a show, ma'am.
Oh my goodness.
And then... I come back out. Now, I'm already in like speed talking mode because I'm panicked. I'm frantic. I feel
also
awful.
So it's you and you were raised in the Emerald Isle.
Indeed. Yeah. So it's a bad start. And it transpires they hate me. Helen. I am doing my bit about the house share. And this woman leans into her husband.
The play? I love that bit.
Thank you, me too. It's like usually a banker. And this woman in the front row is talking really loudly to her husband. And I'm like, is everything okay? And she's like, he's like, she just doesn't know what a house share is.
Shut the fuck up.
I was like, excuse me, what? Then he's trying to explain to her incredibly loudly. I was like, do you need help? And he was like, no, it's for common people. I'm like... Lichfield, what is this? Some sort of fucking Tory stronghold?
Also, we're in Lichfield. What the fuck?
Guess what? It is a Tory stronghold. And no. I've gotten furious about it within 10 seconds of being on stage. We are off to a horrible
match. I don't think they hated you. I think you hated them.
Oh, no, it was mutual.
Okay.
Not all of them, but like the people who messaged me afterwards, shout out to the people who messaged me afterwards, were the ones who were like under 85. And they were like... Do not change your show just because of that. That was weird and bad and they were mean. They were like, it was homophobic energy.
Oh my God.
Anyway, shout out to Lichfield. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again.
I love that gig, by the way. I really do love that gig. I just had a really tough one. And then that easy train journey that you're talking about. It's so funny that you should say that because I got to the station, leg it back to the station. I'm back late, obviously, because the show started late. Am I a fun chat? And then I get there and... The train I've dashed for has been cancelled. That's all right. There'll be one along in another 25 minutes. That doesn't show up. Never say it's cancelled. Just doesn't show up.
Catherine.
An hour later, I'm still stood there. And eventually, I realise no train to London's coming. There just aren't any. So I have to go to Rugby. So I go to Rugby. And then I get a train from there to London. But the first train to London from Rugby, cancelled.
Yeah.
I get the last train you can get from Rugby. I get home at 2:20 in the morning and I had plumped for a train ticket because it would be easier. Anyway, I think the show is going to be wicked.
Privatise the railways. Privatise
no,
the railways.
No, the opposite. And may I say this? All of that is to say that, you know, a bad dress rehearsal. Sometimes a bad dress rehearsal is a great thing.
No, it is. Apparently it's the best thing is to have a bad dress rehearsal and then an amazing opening night.
And may I say, I could, would just, if you like me and my comedy, and you wanted to come next week to Soho Theatre.
You're aware that this is coming out in like 3 weeks' time because we're recording in advance at the moment. I don't
if
know if you
like
that,
me
and going to Australia for 6 weeks. Yeah.
If you like me and would like to come to my show, tour show on tour, especially if I'm coming to your area and you think, huh, we are a Tory stronghold, please book a ticket, please.
Oh, shit. Okay, Aldershot and everyone in Hampshire, that's direct... at you. Okay.
Please,
so all my
please,
Hampshire girly wellies, let's make sure we're booking in early. She'll serve rosé.
Oh my God,
believe
I'd love
or not
to.
That we'll actually sell an extra ticket in Hampshire.
Oh, wicked. Thanks, guys. So that's what's going on with me.
That's really
How's
bad.
Your week been?
Yeah, really good, actually. I mean, I got locked out again. But apart from
what?
That, well, I don't think I technically got locked out. I got locked in. I locked me and Sunil in our garden.
Oh, that's locked out and locked in.
It's really, really trapping, actually.
That really is both.
And it was because...
Wow. Like,
he watched me do it, and then he went, "You're a moron." And I was like, "Why?" Because basically, our back doors...
Yeah.
If it closes, it locks behind it.
Right.
Like, instantly. But that's a new
that's
thing.
That's a bad
that's
system.
A new thing since we got robbed. So my force of habit is to just close it behind me, and then I can just reopen it. Because it's like windy and it's cold out, you know what I mean?
So but there's no code?
No. It just locks. So I was like showing Sunil and I was like, can you stand inside?
Wait, you have to bring a key out every time?
Yeah. Or just leave it open. But I don't
terrible
trust that because of wind.
Yeah, it's a
right?
terrible system.
So he was inside and I went outside and I was like, no, you stay there a minute. I want to show you that, like, if it closes, I want to try opening it from the outside just because I don't, like, it feels weird that it, like, wouldn't work that way.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, no, it doesn't work. And then he comes out and he's like, yeah, it is weird, but I think we'll just get used to it. And I was like, yeah, because it should be able to. And I closed it. Just
no!
Like, get it nothing. And he went, yep, you're a fucking moron. And I was like, oh. So he was like, call a locksmith. Let's just get them over here now. And
wait,
I was
sorry,
like, no, there's more solutions. There's more solutions. And he was like, just call a locksmith. He's there having a cigarette. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying every window, throwing pebbles to our upstairs neighbours.
Is there no wall you can hop?
There's right, so you know the fences around us?
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, so what do? You hop the fence. Like, I'd already got the picnic table over to hop the fence to get over to, like, the fieldy thing behind us that goes up to that slip road.
Uh-huh.
And I could hop that fence because there's, like, a thing for the slip road.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, so what do? You get round the front and then you still can't get in the front door anyway because, like, our door is locked. So you still need to get through that one. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm just going to do it with a credit card. And he's like, well, no, because I had to have a big bit of plastic to get in. That's not how it works. So eventually I did call the locksmith, but it was the same man.
No! No!
Shout out to Stefan.
Hey, Stefan. I guess he must be so tired.
Yeah, he was like, hi again. And I was like, it's a different door. And he had to, like, I had to explain to him that he had to, like, break his way into our flat and then come find us in the garden. So we were watching the door and I could see the coach shaking as he was breaking in. I was just, like, waving, like, please. And it's so cold.
That's
but apart
awful.
From that, I know £154.
I can't even mock you because remember I had to hit myself in the head with that locker like three times. Yeah. I ain't no judgment from me, my darling.
£154.
I have another confession to make. I hope by the time this comes out, I'll be back to being a normal, nice person. But you know when you get the jitters about your show and you become entirely self-involved and therefore...
Never.
Yeah, okay. Well, imagine, if you will, that you think comedy is really important and you're super self-involved.
Okay, yeah.
Role play for me. I have been such a monster. I just like... realized on the train here just like I maybe it's like I'm so tired that I've come like full circle through to enlightenment, but I'm like, wow, I've just been the most trash friend,
what
but particularly
like
girlfriend
mean, like-
not mean, just like so self-obsessed, like just I think it can make you really like a bad partner when you're like all consumed by a creative
process. I get
process.
What you're saying, because when you're like starting the process of like or like finishing the process of like when you're about to go on tour,
I'm just such a perfectionist that it's all I can think about.
But I think like your girlfriend will get that more than most people will because she also does this process.
Yeah, but she's not a cunt about it.
Yeah, but it's because it's two of them.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, it's different.
Sketch is easier. It's different. Famously it's easy. Different.
Well, I think it's
thank
not
you.
Easier.
I feel better now.
It's not easier. I think
it just matters less.
I know. So,
this
no,
is why I'm terrible.
No, I'm going to say it, and I say exactly what I think it is. It's like, I'm not saying it's easier doing different things. It's just when you're putting yourself out there as a stand-up comedian who does stand-up comedy like we do, which is very personal. It's not absurdist. It's actually our life. And we know reviewers are coming, as they will be for you at the beginning of your tour. You get reviewed at the start. You're being judged on you as a person. And I think
it does feel like
some
that.
Some types of comedy you're doing where it's not you exactly, and it's not, you're not going to have a personality review written up in a broadsheet. Yeah. And I think that is just such a different thing to go into.
Yeah.
As well as like ticket sales.
She's been so nice, by the way.
It feels like you're in a very public personality contest.
Yeah.
And that's emotionally quite tough.
Thank you for saying that. I've been feeling like really like petulant, but also like, to be fair, she just gets the worst of it. Like,
so you are a bit bitchy, but you always have been. That's not like as a new thing.
I know, she knew what she was buying.
You were bitchy last year when you were doing a show.
But she's so nice to me, and I just think, God, I need to be nicer to this
woman.
Yeah,
but what did you just send her?
Oh, I wanted to cheer her up because I realised I'd been sort of a self-involved dickwad, a sort of selfish, vacuous doom hole. And I thought, what will cheer her up?
Okay, can you be a bit kinder to yourself? Like, nope. That was so mean to my friend Catherine.
Okay, I'm actually too emotionally vulnerable for you to be nice
to me.
But
that's okay to be emotionally vulnerable.
But so what I did was
like,
I sent
her... I've
just
been a bit self-involved and I want to treat her a little bit more.
Yeah, and so I made you film a boob video for her, and you did a really nice job, and you put water on your tits, and it was honestly really nice.
I felt like you were Amy Poehler in Mean Girls in the original one. Like, your camera was already up.
Oh yeah, it was. It was like, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
So the phone was already up, the camera open. I think she'd already hovered on record, and she was like, oh, I've been a really bad girl, can you send a pic, can you get your breasts out for Ellen, please? So I did like a little scoop and a push, and then I got them even more, and she went, yeah, that's it.
You're doing amazing,
sweetie.
And then
I was like, oh, Catherine's smiling for the first time since I've seen her for this like 15 minutes so far. So I got some water and started sprinkling over, and then she went, yeah, that'll do.
Like, lovely stuff. But the thing is, like, it's so nice because you gave her a gift I could never.
Hey now,
you know,
stop being a bitch, get the implants. Be a good girlfriend, get the implants.
I should get the implants.
Do you reckon we should do that the same day? Like, you get implants and I get mine reduced?
I think ideal scenario, if I may, they take it out of yours and put it in mine.
It doesn't work that way.
Why?
I thought it would. It doesn't. I've done some research.
Why? I just take a little bit of you around with me all day, every day. Like, maybe I'd be funnier.
I genuinely thought they would just, have I talked about this before? Like, they just suck out some tit and they just put the tit somewhere else. If you get a breast reduction, they move your nipple. They take your nipple off and they move it.
Whoa.
That feels frightening. And also, you don't get to say where they put it.
What? They're not going to put it on your back, Ben.
No, but like, happens if they go mad. You know what I mean?
What kind of mad do you think they're going?
Like top of boob nipple.
I don't think they're going top of boob nipple.
Like boob all underneath and nipple at the top.
No, because what I think, better theory, anyone who
like,
gets
you know
in-
that alien... Who has like an eye?
Can I tell you why I don't think you need to worry about that?
Why?
And you know how I feel about breast reductions in your case anyway.
It's against
the Lord. I'm against it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think they're perfect, so leave them alone. No, but I do ultimately.
Women should suffer back pain for all eternity because Catherine.
We're the great rock! Yes!
The devil invented breast reductions.
Unless it's gender affirming.
I saw Goody Bauer in The Office.
But here's what I'm thinking, right?
Go for it.
I'm thinking that anyone who gets into boob jobs is a pervert and probably just loves boobs. And so they're not messing around with the thing they love.
You think plastic surgeons are all perverts?
I think everyone who gets into the boob game likes boobs. And I think if I could have my time again, I'd be in the boob game myself.
You know you can restart a career at any point.
Felt so mean. Like, I'm about to go on tour and you're like, you know, just FYI, oh, just, you know, you can change.
Just, you know, there's other, for everyone in this room, this goes for Andrew and Em as well. We could all start again if we wanted to.
Gosh, but I'm not going to become a plastic surgeon.
Oh, actually, that'd be time. That's going back and doing biology and chemistry, I imagine.
And also, I'm like, imagine a person with OCD being like in a surgeon. I just think like a perfectionist. I'd never be happy. I'd just keep taking.
You'd be perfect. It'd be so sterile, so clean, and everyone would leave like flawless.
Yeah, except that they'd be like, okay, they've both been reduced, and I'd be like, I feel like they're off. I'll just do a tiny bit more. Just do a tiny bit. Suddenly people will be leaving with concave chests because I'd be like, I think at least it's even. I think it's even now. Bye. So, you know, it's look, better that the perverts are in.
If I ever get mine done, I want you there with me.
I would be grieving them.
But not with your camera out.
I'd be saying
I don't
goodbye.
Want like creepy camera.
I'd be like, don't cry for me.
Please, please inject it into the squishy ball so I can carry it
oh,
with
God,
me forever.
Oh God, I'd love to take it home for a little jar. No, I wouldn't. I said it, but I didn't mean it.
You
I'm weird
want
today.
A
I'm tired.
Me in a jar?
No, no thanks.
You know that museum in London where they have loads of like body parts in jars? What's it called?
Body Works?
Hunterian? Hunterian, not Body Works.
Yeah, Hunterian, I think it is the Hunterian.
Well, like, there's one that's attached to like UCL, University College yeah. London, and they've got loads of things in jars.
Yeah, Hunterian Museum at the Royal College of Surgeons.
Royal College of Surgeons. Mm. I think my grandfather worked there for a bit.
I don't think that's for me.
Do you want? It's really close to here.
Oh, gosh.
Andrew?
I don't think that's for me.
Jars?
I don't think so.
I don't think the jars aren't the appealing thing, surely. No. The contents of the jars.
Oh. I read a book called Geek Love, and in it, it's like about a family who work in a circus. Well, they sort of run the circus, and like the father insists that the mother takes loads of like drugs and does all these different things when she's pregnant because he wants his children to be geeks, which is like the original meaning of the word geek is in like someone like different with like a different body. And so some of the children don't survive when they're born, some of the babies, and then they store them in jars and they have it as part of the circus as a display, and the siblings
Helen,
have to go watch them.
This is such a dark story.
Yeah, it's actually, but it's beautiful, this story. It's about like the family and them all like growing up together and like siblings and like, oh, it's really special. It's like a modern American novel, maybe modern 80s or something.
I think I preferred when you were reading Tracy Beaker.
I still read Tracy Beaker.
I think I prefer those. Thank
I finally
you.
Started Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow. It's very good.
You said that last. You said that weeks ago. Yeah. Are you not finished by now?
No.
Okay.
I've been listening to...
Finally started.
Listening to Counting the Cost.
Have you ordered When McKinsey Comes to Town?
Yeah, but I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay. Because the more I listen to it, the more I think you're not going to like it.
I've already spent a credit on it in Audible.
I feel so bad about that.
Let's not fight. Let's bring. Okay. Let's do. Bring on a guest. Bring on a guest. What the fuck
we're
am
not
I doing?
Having a guest.
Look, you're full of cheese. I'm in charge today.
Okay. It's going well.
Just mozzarella.
No, and ricotta.
That's fine. I think cheddar hangovers are harder.
Okay.
When I have like 500 grams of cheddar, which I have done before, it's mentally very tough to get through.
500 grams. Way.
In a lasagna or something. You know, when you're like, oh, this
in
will
a
be
whole
a lasagna,
lasagna
for the week. When you're like, this will be a lasagna for the week. And then you just get like focused on the binge. And you're like, well, I've got to finish it now because otherwise it'll be there tomorrow. And then that'll ruin
How's
tomorrow. So I've got to get
going?
It done today. Really good, actually. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite intense, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is everything...
Definitely need to get more people on the team.
Everything
she has
okay
suggested.
At home? What has she suggested?
Another person on the team.
Whose specialism is?
Nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hurtful when they say they need to get someone else on the team though, isn't it?
And are they saying like
you
need
had
a
that
nutritionist?
In therapy, have someone go like, I think we need to bring someone else in, and it's like,
Helen,
oh, no.
I
You had a hospital.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, they were like, we need to get a team in. They were like, let's get you to the team. Let's get you there now.
Take you to the team.
Yeah, this team could not be bigger. Yeah, babe, I've been there.
Yeah, but I went swimming again and I told my therapist and she was like, that's amazing because you're doing something.
Amen.
That feels good.
Do you like
and
it?
You like. Yes, I do
good.
Like it.
Good.
I went in the medium swim lane.
Whoa, she's speeding up.
Yeah.
How was it?
It's too fast for them.
Oh, were you? Are you going to be in the fast lane next week?
I could if I wanted to. I just don't want to because I think that's where knobs go.
Like I do agree.
There's
with
a girl
that.
In it with like earplugs, goggles, and a nose clip. And it's like, all right.
It's
and
not
she like stretches on the side of the pool. And
but
it's like,
hey.
Honey, we're in a larger center. Like,
come on. She doesn't yeah. stretch on the side. That's still better than
she
that woman.
She doesn't need to.
It's still better than that woman who cut her nails on the side of the one in.
There was a woman cutting her nails on the bus yesterday.
No.
Of you. And I was like, what's that sound? Because it was like, oh my god,
like you
the
should
nail
go to jail. Down. You should go to
and
jail.
I was like, oh my god, that's so. Yeah, it's confident.
I'm anti prisons, except for that.
You're anti prison, just yeah. in general.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Completely.
Unless it's extremely violent crime.
Yeah.
I don't think the prison system as it currently stands works. I mean, if we were talking about the Scandinavian prison system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking largely about large-scale, privatised, disgusting harm machines.
Yeah, it's really bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's not go.
Even if they make us.
Let's make a pact. None of us are going to jail.
Do you remember the last time you did this? You said, let's make a pact. None of us end up in hospital.
I don't want to go. Please.
This means one of us is going to jail tonight.
Wait, what are you doing tonight? No, please. I'm going to a party.
I'm going home to do a puzzle, so I'm probably safe.
I'm gigging.
Where are you gigging?
Backyard and Covent Garden.
You'll be fine.
Please don't make me.
Catherine's going to jail.
I wouldn't do well in there.
You'd be fine.
No, I don't.
On a big communal unit where you can cook, you'll be fine. I'll visit. I'll put together your care package.
No, thank you. Okay, Andrew, what are the problems? This isn't funny. This is making me anxious.
Making me very happy.
Would you like an update first? We start with an update?
Yes.
Fabulous. Okay, well, this is an update from A.
Hi, A. Oh, we haven't had an A in ages.
No, we haven't. Hey, A.
A says, hi, guys. I wrote in during the lockdown to air out some grievances involving my marriage to a man.
Here we go.
I'm 35, female and pansexual. Our son was an infant during lockdown.
Aww.
The pandemic brought a lot of conversations to the forefront as neither of us felt fulfilled in our marriage. We'd agreed on ethical non-monogamy so that I could express my full sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
He was cool with it in theory, but it wasn't exactly the two femme bisexual threesome fantasy he was envisioning.
Well, you can't blame a guy for trying.
He's a dreamer. You married a dreamer.
Yeah.
The masked women and MBs I started dating were not having any of his shit, and he was really acting gross and entitled, as if he could just veto and or watch.
Aww.
I told him he could date too. My excitement about his dating was not comparison, but rather a thrill that we could take turns going out alone rather than to asking a grandparent to watch our son so we could have a date night.
Okay. Mm.
Red flags everywhere we looked. Monogamy to a man somehow felt closeted, and if I'm honest, sexually unfulfilling. We had lots of problems previous to the E&M discussion,
mm-hmm.
and while polyamory and E&M are valid and lovely ways to form romantic bonds with people, I personally came to terms with the fact that I was using it as a band-aid to justify a baby step in getting out of a bad marriage.
Oh.
I believe in E&M, but I used it incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
However, it did serve a purpose in helping me to leave. I only adopted pan as a label to include non-binary people about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband was my first boyfriend, so the fact that I married a man surprised everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We are now happily divorced and excelling in co-parenting.
Yay!
We both have girlfriends who are very supportive and respectful
Wicked.
Of the other's boundaries.
Right.
And all with our son at the forefront. I never knew I could feel this way about a romantic partner. She is patient and understanding about my transitions after marriage, and I couldn't be happier. Writing Trusty Hogs was the first time I realised my feelings before I came forward, and it was an invaluable experience.
I wish I could remember what we said.
I'm sure it was perfect and we have no regrets. Go on.
But that's a really beautiful thing then.
What's the end?
The end says, my girlfriend doesn't speak any English, but she gets a kick out of seeing me watch your YouTube videos while she makes our breakfast.
She speaks another language, but her girlfriend
One
doesn't.
Hopes. If you're like, I've never felt this way about anyone
or
before.
Maybe they're just kicking through breakfast food.
She knows that my Thursday mornings are my me time. Thanks for everything, A.
Oh, A.
That is so nice.
Sounds like everyone in your family is in so much more of a better place.
Yeah, everyone sounds much happier.
So now your kid gets four parents? Slay!
It's so funny, isn't it, how the guilt is so entrapping. Like, the guilt that of what you might do to your partner in letting them down by breaking up with them is such that you would keep you all in an unhappy circumstance. And, like, look at that. Not that long after, and you're all thriving. That's so brave
true.
And exciting. It's also cool and brave to, like, name and own what happened in truth, like to be like, E&M is definitely for people and it's beautiful, and also I used
not
it
for me.
And also like I used it incorrectly, and also like welcome to, you know, adulthood in the world, like don't we all, like we've all done things and gone like, I don't know that I was doing those for the right reasons.
Particularly when you're like figuring out your sexuality or you're trying something new, like
yeah.
sometimes you will like take a misstep, but I yeah. think it's not a misstep because it did get you to where you are now, as well as like saying it out loud and like writing it and letting us read it out loud means that other people will hear that and be like, oh, that might suit me or this might not, like blah blah
yeah.
blah.
Yeah,
that's and wicked.
You didn't go into it with wrong intentions. You were just like, oh, this isn't working. Maybe it's the monogamy element.
Absolutely.
And then you
weren't
found out
planning
it wasn't.
On like, and I'm sure you didn't use anyone. You were just trying something out.
Mm. I think it's amazing. Woohoo, what a happy update.
A lovely update.
Goodness me.
Aww. I do have one more update before we get into the mailbag.
Exciting.
This is from Elle.
Hi, Elle.
Hi, everyone. I wrote in before and you answered my question about a year ago on episode 46 with Mary Beth Barone.
Oh, my God. That was in
Edinburgh.
That
was a while
ago. Was that in Edinburgh?
Yeah, the year before last. Yeah.
Fuck off.
Sorry.
Don't worry if you don't remember me. I went by Elle, and my problem was about me being 17 and gay as hell and falling in love with my best friend of a few months and how to go about maybe making a move and figuring out how we felt about each other.
I think I do remember this.
I do remember this because I was like, you gotta say.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Elle did. Elle says, with exams, I got really busy and couldn't listen to the podcast as much. So now they're over, I'm doing a massive catch-up binge listening.
I really respect that. And also, fair play for your commitment to your studies. A big part of the reason my tour show stressed me out so much is because I had so many podcasts to listen to as well.
You've got to put the podcast first,
guys. You've got to put the podcast first.
Always.
Go on.
Still always makes my day better, and I'm such a huge fan. Thank you,
aww,
Elle.
Nice.
Now that context is given, it's time for the update. I'm 18 now, and he's still my best friend. I took your advice and tried to feel it out. And while I wish I could say I was brave enough to make a move, you guys were right. I was 17 and it was far too vulnerable for me.
Aww.
He and I are still so close and my feelings have only gotten bigger and more intense. I'm genuinely in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
What makes it so hard is I'm pretty sure he may feel a similar way. He knows I like him. We ended up having a conversation a while ago and it came up. But ever since then, it's just a lot of talking around it. We flirt and are affectionate. And recently started kissing each other on the cheek and holding hands a lot when we're together. Elle, I think you've accidentally ended up in a relationship here.
Yeah. Sounds like a boyfriend, but amazing.
So kissing on the cheeks, holding hands. And I know this sounds like an, okay, what's the issue? Just go for it situation. But you guys are understanding enough to get how terrifying it all is. I get stuff like this wrong a lot. So what if I'm just reading signals wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of any romantic feelings, he is my best friend, which makes it so terrifying because I don't want to lose him. But also the idea of him with anyone else makes me sick. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. That's a lot. I can see that.
But then you have to do that thing where you're like a teenager and you just like pretend to get drunk even though you're not actually that drunk and then say it.
I don't think it's good advice.
It's such good advice. But then again, I also did this relationship for so long, including having sex with them, but being like, oh, but I can't say like, I think we should be boyfriend and girlfriend. And I left it so long.
I think you got to say something. I think you have to open.
You're a psychopath.
I think you open with what they've just said, which is, you're my best friend. I want to be clear. That comes first and foremost for me. I do not want to lose our friendship. As you know, I think, I also have romantic feelings for you. Would you be open to discovering where they could go?
That is so brave. What do you listen to before you say that to hype yourself up?
The thing is, right, it sounds to me like if you don't have the conversation, you'll end up hurting each other more and that will end up ruining your friendship, right? Because something will be undiscussed and then it will be forced into conversation.
No, or in life forever.
Or they're like, he's like, I have a girlfriend or I have a partner. And that's devastating. And like you said, if it makes you feel sick, then you're not going to be able to deal with that particularly well, which will also damage your friendship. Whereas,
don't worry, those other whores will come and go.
Whereas if you separate yourself from that situation, if it's not linked, if your like conversation about it isn't linked to anybody else, then you'll be able to have like objective feelings about that person, hopefully have processed it by the time he's with anybody else. But I would strongly suggest saying it.
I agree. There's
more to agree, but to actually do. Okay, go on.
No, I was gonna say there's not much more sort of context than like other people saying that he thinks he likes him and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, he's in a band and Elle writes songs for the band, which is very sweet. Just some extra context.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
But also, if you're 18 and you really fancy someone and they hold your hand and kiss you on the cheek, that's basically coming. Do you remember at 18, like the handhold, like how much of a
I didn't
that
kiss
could be?
Anyone until I was 19.
But like, if someone held your hand and kissed you on the cheek, and you really fancied them when you were 18,
it didn't happen.
You would have got okay. You would have been you get the towel and sweetheart.
Really,
like,
really,
yeah.
I believe.
Also,
you.
I know things are more liberal now, but than even when I was at school. But that's still not like, oh, we're just like 18-year-old friends. That's what we do. I think that's a good sign that you are romantically interested in each other.
I think so, yeah.
I think there's a good chance. I don't think anybody... I don't think if you've been kissing on the cheek and holding hands and hanging out all the time, if you were like, hey, I have feelings for you, that the other person could be like, what? So at least that's a starting point.
Have you met straight guys who are younger?
No,
I've had guys who I've literally been in bed with and they go, you want me? You fancy? Ugh! Like, it's insane.
Really?
It's insane out there. Yes.
Oh, okay.
They have no idea. They're like, I thought it was just banter.
They thought it was like funny.
Yes. I thought it was like having fun.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. I'm very used to lesbians who are like, we've had sex once and they're like, so kids? Would you say you'd want kids? And you're like, oh my God.
We're all living in very different worlds. Mm. This is what's frustrating.
I've told a best friend that I fancied them before. And it's fine. It goes out fine, you know?
What did they say?
I've done it a lot. I had a real problem with differentiating.
I've actually done it twice. In my 20s, I did it twice. Yeah.
Platonic love and romantic love, very different.
But are you still really close with that person?
Yeah. I'm still great friends with everyone that I've ever said I love you to.
One I lost. One I completely, like, I just totally, but I chose to because I was like, oh, I know. Because they said no, and I was still in love with them. Mm. And one... It was not the same as it was before.
I've had two people do it to me, and yeah, I've said...
You have, actually.
I've said, I don't feel that way. But in both circumstances, I could see how, based on our friendship, they thought there was a chance that that could happen. Like, friendship and flirtation and love and attraction are all... They all sit very close beside each other, and they can often intermingle with one another. And I, like... And no part of me was like, how dare you? Like, I just was like, I actually just felt like,
tricky, yeah.
I just felt bad. I just felt bad that I was letting them down. Not bad that I was like, not that I'd been misleading or anything, but bad that I was going to cause them pain.
So you put your clothes back on and left.
But what I will say is that both of them then couldn't be my friend.
Yeah.
Which I also understand, but I just like wouldn't say it if you're not willing to take the no, maybe.
That's the thing. But then it's like you're in love with someone and there's a chance that if you say something, then you won't have any time with them. That risk is very frightening. Because it's like, but we're fine as we are. Mm. But like, how many times have you done that, Andrew?
But I guess what I'm saying is that
three.
But what I'm saying is I think often the person who gets the no, the rejected party in that scenario, is the arbiter of whether or not you stay friends sometimes, because if they're comfortable with a no, then it's usually okay.
I think I understand what you're saying as far as like you ask, they say, no, I don't fancy you.
If you're respectful of that.
But it's your choice if you want to still be friends. But I think it's like, it's so true. Okay, so yeah, I needed to, first one that said no, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? But I ended up moving country.
So just like a casual reaction.
And the other one, I was like really hurt, tried to push on his friends immediately, but found it really difficult. Like found it like really
totally
like,
understandable.
And then like even now, it's definitely like so much better now, but I can still feel it slightly sometimes because they really, yeah, actually that is more context to that because then he went out with one of my close friends, even though I asked him not to. So that's different, isn't it?
Oh, we've fallen out about this before because I think that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's fine.
Yeah.
Not that soon after when everyone's got the contacts fully. Mm. And yeah, to openly pursue something despite the fact that I introduced them and I was there when they met. And that was the only time.
Do you want me to argue with you again? You're like fully making your case.
No. I think it's bullshit.
Helen's like, the prosecution rests.
And I think if you do it, then you don't do it in front of that person and tell everyone. And don't allow the person who's been rejected to be the sexy. Like, we can't.
That part's grim, that part's grim, obviously, but I guess I don't think like a declaration of feelings.
Because you're a whore. You're an actual whore. Pose before bros. Pose before bros.
I just don't think one owns another person's sexuality in that way.
No! But
I
like,
just
they,
don't think you, that's I like know, a metric. No,
but you also, like, you owe it to your friends to be, like, so respectful of their, like, their boundaries and their life, and like, this is
we're getting off topic, right? Because we have a problem that isn't this one.
I think you're so wrong.
Andrew, some of them you did manage to be friends with.
Yeah. Oh, all of them.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah.
Some of them, like, the friendship sort of drifted apart or, like, ended naturally. But, like, after a few years, like, it wasn't related to me saying that I fancied them or wanted anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. I love that for you. 3 times you've done it.
Yeah.
You've got a best friend. So we've got a you should do it from Andrew. Mm-hmm. We've got a, you should do it because it's been a year and you still feel it from me. Mm-hmm. We've got a hell no.
No, you should do it, but it's not as easy as you should. Like, it's really tough and you'll be grateful you did it in the long run. Like, you'll look back in 5 years, but it's really tough when you are that completely in love with someone. It's so, but I've got such a different experience of rejection than you do.
Yeah.
You've rejected, I've like been like fully rejected.
Yeah.
Like, and that's almost exclusively my impression of love.
Yeah.
Is putting myself out there and being rejected. So I think we see it so differently.
Oh, well,
I'm like, this could bruise you to the point where, like, your life goes completely off kilter.
I think my rejection has been experienced at the end of long relationships.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And if that were my exclusive experience of long-term relationships, I wouldn't be getting into those again very fast. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I do hear what you're saying. And you're right, it absolutely matters. But I guess I'm like, you're never going to be the kind of hopeful and unburdened that you are at 18. So if you're going to do it, maybe now's the time.
I've never regretted doing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'll say that very clearly, but it is tough.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't for a second take it lightly that it wouldn't be hard. It's going to be hard, and you have to account for the world where he says no.
But he won't.
But he might.
I don't think he will.
And he's in a band.
And then he might date.
I don't trust bands.
And no, neither do I. And then he might date your friend in front of you, and that's okay.
And you better be getting paid for those songs you're writing.
Yeah, you better be getting paid. Get, no.
No, he will not date one of your friends. They're 18. Then again, I remember when my friend made out with the boy that I used to work with that I really fancied, and I went away for the summer on Fleet High Street, and I was 17.
And you think that's a crime?
I didn't think it was a crime. I thought it was fucking bullshit. I fucking told her.
That's
madness. Am I like the most typical straight woman of all
time?
You're
allowed to.
Like, everyone's a whore apart from him.
and if I fancy you, I own you. So.
No, I know. No, it's not like that. I'm not that person who's like, I fancy him, and I said first, and no one else can fancy him. I was so aware of that at school that someone would be like, I fancy him, and I was like, right, and I will never do that in my head. Like, I was like, but.
But then you did it over and over again?
No, there's a level of loyalty between friends. There just is. Mm-mm. To have some respect with it, or like at least talk to your friend and make sure that their feelings are as important as your own. To be that... Yeah, this goes back to my show that I did 2 years ago. I hate that whole, like, you're the most important person. It's like, you're not. Like,
yeah, yeah. But I also think that...
Did not yoga with Adrian and me right now.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to.
Oh, my God, I so felt the energy of yoga with Adrian coming into the
room.
Oh,
no, I was trying to get out of this without making the argument worse, and I couldn't find a segue.
Just, I need you to tell me that I was wronged. Say poor fat Helen. Look me in the eyes and say poor fat Helen.
Poor fat Helen.
Tell me I deserve love.
Helen deserves love. Of course you deserve love.
I love how I'm having the exact same crisis as this 18-year-old and I'm 32.
That's what my new show is about. Honestly, my whole show is about, like, how am I having these feelings again? Like, how am I here? But that is love. Love is like the risk upon risk upon risk upon risk when everything says not to. Like, a rational brain wouldn't do it.
Okay, let's just follow the main rule then. Always tell someone if you're in love with them unless it's a family member. That's the rule.
Sorry, yeah, like, obviously.
Or like a dog or something.
Oh my God. Yes, sorry, yes. Within the legal bounds. Like,
within the legal bounds. Yeah, but I think even cousins, I know that's legal, but it's still like, you know.
It's not encouraged.
No, well, I don't know about you. And
hey, only one of my
family. Over the oversea.
Oh God.
I have to remind myself of that rule all the time because I've got so many fucking fit cousins, man.
It must be tricky.
No, they're beautiful. I've got beautiful cousins, but
And you said you fancy them first. and their wives are fucking whores.
I fancied him first.
I met him when we were babies.
We used to do that at school, not just about like people we fancied in our year group, but like teachers. And it's like, you can't fancy Mr. Mandzukas. She fancies Mr. Mandzukas.
Oh my God. I wonder where you got it from.
Mr. Mandzukas was fit though. Like, it was mad.
And you thought you owned him?
No, not me. No, some of the other girls.
But it's where you learn the
bad behavior. Am I very like pious right now? Is it?
No, it's very sweet. It's a sweet, but also like, to be clear,
I'm very Christian and godly. No, to be clear, I feel like I'm very much like on the Sermon on the Mount, like that's wrong and you must never.
Can I just say, by the way, I don't ever think you should go out of your way to do anything that you know will hurt somebody unless you feel like compelled to. And even then you should be delicate and gentle and understanding.
Yes.
But I still think you're allowed to date the person that your friend fancies.
You're allowed to. You are allowed to do that.
And I don't think that they should act like it's a crime.
You have to talk to your friend first. And
well, not first. You could explore it and then tell them.
No.
She's tossing the table. Next problem, please.
Yes, I've had a few more updates, but we'll go into a problem.
Because I could discuss this for an hour, Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, we can tell.
So you're going to need to really change the subject here. No pressure. Okay. But if this involves any romance,
we need a
we're
gear
both
shift.
Fucked.
Okay,
give me a bad relationship with a mum.
No, this is a shared living situation.
Oh, brilliant.
Great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, this is from B.
Hi, B.
But it just starts, Dear Catherine.
You know what, B? Fair play. I'll have a little break. I'll have a coffee and drink my water. No. You fancy Catherine. I get it. God forbid I get in your way.
Whoa. Are you okay today?
It's a tough on episode.
You look really sexy in your green shirt, by the
Go
way.
Go fuck yourself.
You do.
It's a good shirt.
Sorry, you do. Also, can I tell you, by the way, the most common comment I now get on any video or picture I put up on Instagram? Slay. They've all really started right. to do it on your behalf.
Slay.
As Helen would say, slay. No.
I think we need to hear B out. Sorry. Because I think there me. Are, in gen, honestly... There are things that I think you'd go to each of us for advice.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I have a feeling this might be quite...
So we don't think it's a cyst?
No, I think I do the cysty sort of
that's
stuff.
That's what I'm saying, is
like,
we don't think
this problem... Yeah, I get the sort of like neurodiverse questions.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Catherine gets the mental health and the queer things. So let's
queer things.
The queer things.
But B is a gay man, as we will find out later.
Hey,
surprise!
I just found out what bussy means.
Like oh, yes, I had to explain that.
Yeah. Wait, what boy pussy.
No.
Yeah. Mm. Fun.
What's that? Bussy. When you tuck the... Is it when you do the...
No,
tuck?
No. As in, it's just
it's
an
just
ass,
your penis. Oh, it's your ass.
Oh, your ass.
Yeah. So, no, boy pussy is ass.
Oh, because every hole is a hole.
Actually, I just found out what was...
What did you think was the penis?
I thought it was like a euphemism for a penis.
Bussy. Like the Bussy building in Peckham. Yeah. Ooh, do you think the Bussy building know that? Because they rent out a lot of spaces. Andrew, you bought a lovely Bussy.
Thank you.
You're welcome, baby.
I'm so old. Bussy, so sweet.
Is that because you can like park things in it? Like a bus or a dump truck? So it's like a Bussy. Like, oh, here comes the Bussy. I got a Bussy today.
B says, Dear Catherine.
Okay, great. I wonder what the B stands for.
I love learning.
Dear Catherine, go on.
I'm a huge fan of the show and respect your advice giving so much that I've helped several friends trap men in wells.
Oh, that's all you, babe.
Yeah, interestingly.
No, God forbid I join in.
Helen's furious God, today.
No, I'm just...
Okay, yeah. Go on.
I'm currently... I'm currently in my mid-30s and have been living in a one-bedroom flat for the past 3 years. I've been fortunate to pay a reasonable rent, well below 40% of my salary.
Holy shit, how? Oh my God.
However, I recently received notice from my landlord that they intend to sell the flat.
Fuck.
Given the current state of the London rental market, finding an affordable place has become quite daunting.
Dude, I hear ya.
And I'm now considering the possibility of moving into a shared house.
Mm.
In a previous podcast, Catherine briefly touched upon her own experience in a similar situation, and I'm eager to hear more about her practical coping skills and insights on navigating shared living arrangements. To provide context, I'm a cis gay man who recently became single, potentially facing the prospect of moving into a shared house with strangers. Considering the logistics of shared living, the fact that I'm going to have to sell / give away a lot of my existing possessions to scale down, and the raw emotions off the back of a breakup, one question in my mind is it even worth staying in London? Or should I contemplate quitting my job and starting from scratch back home, brackets Wales, or somewhere new? Any experience you can share will be appreciated. Unfortunately, the only person that may have to go live in a well is me. Love the show, B.
You'd be bloody lucky in a well, and I'll tell you that. It's lovely.
Yeah, but you'd probably meet the company would be terrible. All the lads you've thrown down there.
Oh, no.
God, I'd be sick. I wouldn't be able to handle the company. Do you know what? I think, first of all, sorry to hear that. That is such a lot of change all at once. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's not change jobs when you've just had a big life change. On the other hand, part of me thinks, like, if ever there's a time to revamp everything, it's when stuff's already up in the air. And let me tell you this, you'll get a hell of a lot more for your money in Wales. And listen, if you'd said, like, where you were from and then where you were from was Lichfield, I'd be like, stay in London! But it's Wales! Wales is freaking beautiful. It's beautiful. And the gayest gay men in the world, like H from Steps, live there. Like, there's got to be a reason. It's so beautiful. And you could probably, like, you know, really do a lot better in terms of property. And if that would make you happy, then hell yes. What I will say is, if you are going to live in a house share with strangers, which I've not really done, barring once, I would say make sure you have a break clause. Not because it might not be wonderful, but because you don't really know what those people are like to live with and won't know until you do it. There are an endless number of things that you have to consider when you're living with other people, all of which I'm sure you're very afraid of, so I don't need to list the bad things. What I'm going to do is unusually uncharacteristic for me and instead say some of the good things that I've loved about living in a house share. There is more space, like there's more common space than I've ever had before. When I have had my heart broken, company, especially like a company that doesn't necessarily want to get into it all the time, but there's someone there to say hello to of an evening, can be really, really nice. It also stops you like staying in and just vegging in front of the telly sometimes, because you're like a bit like, come on, the world is going, people are around me, they're living their lives, I'm gonna do the same.
You're in the house share, you'll yeah. go back down. Yeah,
oh no, of course, but like a little
you
bit.
What, you know, you're like, oh, I cook all my meals.
I get dressed every day.
Yeah. But then you live there for a while, and you're like, who gives a fuck?
And then the other thing is, like, I think it's like you often meet lots of cool new people by living in a house share because they have friends, right? So like you do tend to broaden your social circle, which when you've had a breakup can be gorgeous and really, really lovely. Also, like, I just don't think it's as bad as you imagine. I think what I'd say is the difference between living in my house shares in my 20s versus 30s is so different. People in their 30s, generally speaking, have accepted that they're living in a house share, often to try to get on the property ladder, or with a recognition that, like, yeah, it's not ideal, but given that we're doing it intentionally and like wanting to have a nice home. And so people generally take better care of it. People have a little bit more disposable income, so they're inclined to get things like a cleaner or like buy fresh flowers for the house or take care of it. And that's what I've noticed as a big distinction. Obviously, like, Sunil's.
I live in a house share with a 43-year-old man.
Yeah, but
who just downloaded a golf game on the Xbox?
Well, that sounds wicked.
That's a contribution to the flat.
Which one?
I don't fucking
okay.
know.
I just.
So
reckon
sometimes you will live with people that will buy fresh flowers and hire a cleaner, and sometimes you'll live with someone who will give you access to a golf game.
Yeah, and maybe that's more what you're into, B. But honestly, do you know what? And this is entirely projection. I would pack up my shit and go get a big old place to myself in Wales. I'd stomp the dales. Are the dales in Wales?
The valleys.
Yes, my apologies. I'd have fresh home-cooked meals at my parents' house occasionally. I'd have sex with hot Welsh men. I'd get that fresh, delicious air. And I'd visit London on holidays.
Cardiff is a freaking great city as well.
Is that a crazy call?
No, I don't think it's crazy. I think, like, I don't know. I think everyone who's in London at the moment is sort of, like, starting to look around and go, like, is it actually worth it? Like, I've got a lot of friends, like, making that choice at the moment.
Well, we live in a billionaire's playground, desperately, like, begging to keep our room affordable.
Thing. And, like, no one's rent is, like, you sort of, like, you just because you find a good rent doesn't mean it stays that way. I mean, this office is a great example of that for us. Like, yeah. You sort of, like, think you found somewhere and then it's like, oh, just constant challenges. So, like, you'll know best for your situation. But just to add on to the end of Catherine's, it's just, like, whatever, I feel like we put so much pressure on these, like, moving situations or where am I going to live. Like, nothing's permanent. Just try something out for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, if you can work remotely or get some sort of, like, leave and figure that out, why you want to go, like, stay somewhere. And if you don't like it, come back to London. It's not going anywhere. Not for, yeah, like, 20 years it or something. I think then it goes underwater.
It seems more rational to do, like, a six-month contract in a house share and then check if you like it and then decide whether or not to quit your job. And then, if not, go to Wales. Than it does to quit your job, go to Wales, and then come back to London. But both are very viable and doable. And nothing's permanent. Like, you can absolutely change your mind on these things.
Yeah. I've had some lovely house share experiences. Some really lovely ones. One fucking mental one, though.
Yeah, me too.
German guy used to come in my bedroom and put on my swimsuits. Yeah, did photo shoots and stuff.
And was that the good one?
And then, he was charming. Yeah, and he got arrested at every supermarket around us in where were we?
Why?
Neukern. That he, I had to go in and buy all his food for him.
Why did he get arrested?
Because he kept on stealing. Yeah, he kept on, couldn't stop stealing.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's hard.
I know. And then he
couldn't stop him.
What? This is so bad. I was like, I just started doing stand-up. And they were like, oh, you need a picture to send to, like, the clubs to put on their posters. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, really, like, it didn't have any money. So I went to one of the photo automat booths, you know, where you put in, like, the €4 and you get, like, four, like, poof, poof, poof.
Yeah.
And I cut that out and I took a picture really close to my phone. And I was like, that's my headshot.
Gorgeous.
He saw that in my room, came in, took a picture of it and changed his profile pictures to on social media.
That's kind of funny.
I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know, just making you laugh. Okay. And then I'm like, why are you in my swimsuit? He'd be like, yes, it's a bit tight in places. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
No.
Are you wearing underwear? No, I'll wash it. Yeah, you fucking will.
Okay, I would kill. Next one. Andy, do we have another problem?
But you won't necessarily live with him.
Yes, yeah.
I think he's in, like, Wuppertal now. I think you're fine, yeah.
Another problem before the before we go to the extras.
Let's do an update.
Yes,
okay. Let's finish on an update. How many problems have we done? Enough problems before we go to the extras. Oh my God! Helen picked up her glass, panicked, thought she'd spilled it. Really, 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 like, wobbled around. Is everything okay?
What happened?
Did you get spooked? Is your glass haunted?
I got frightened
by picking up your own water glass.
It felt like it spilled, but it didn't.
That's
I'd
wild.
Like to watch that back. I really gave myself a fright. I got frightened.
I know. I saw you spook yourself. That was weird, man.
Your face was terrified and incredulous.
Yeah.
Is that incredulous? Is that angry? Incredulous.
No, yeah, unbelieving. Sort of
like, what the fuck is this?
Like, what the fuck? Like a WTF? Just say WTF face.
It was a WTF face,
incredulous. That's my word of the week.
Nice.
Because you're so incredulous.
No. Andrew...
This is an update from Elle.
Hi, Elle. Another Elle. How exciting.
Elle, yes. Elle is she, her, for reference, and she writes, Hi, Hogs.
Fly.
I have a positive update on a problem I sent almost 2 years
Woo-hoo!
Ago.
Yay! 2 years ago?
And Whoa. You answered it last week. No. We actually answered it in the Amy Gledhill episode.
Fabulous.
Fuck me. Yeah. That was back in Vauxhall.
Whoa. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
In our shipping container.
Yes. And Elle says, I was 16 at the time, and the problem talked about me feeling much less confident after the pandemic and struggling in conversations, constantly running behind and feeling generally quite shy and unlike myself. I'm very happy to update you. Now at 18 years old, this feeling has 100% gone away.
Shut the fuck up! fuck up.
We've got an 18-year-old who likes herself on our podcast.
Completely secure in themselves and everything's fine.
Yeah, I've...
Shut the fuck up!
This podcast should be so popular. You're welcome. That bottle that.
I don't trust this, Al.
We
parented
a child to fruition. We've done it. We're mothers now.
No, she's on an upswing when she's written this. This is mental. No 18-year-old is that...
No way. Let's not undo it. Go on, Elle.
I think it was more of a Nanny McPhee than a mother sort of situation. Like, once you get well, you sort of stop listening. And so, well, we've graduated now. We're all fine. You know what I mean?
Okay, fuck you, Andrew.
Sorry.
We're not losing that many
once
listeners.
Once people get
we're not
well.
Really helping. We've lost like 4 listeners. We've cured 4 people and really damaged 10,000.
It's so mean to be like, when people get well, they don't listen to the podcast anymore.
Which means that everyone is listening right now is really not good.
That's way harsh, man.
Sorry. Remember, we're sending you all love.
I've done almost a complete 180, and especially in the last year, I can feel myself getting more and more comfortable and confident in social situations.
Aww.
I love going out. And I even have a boyfriend who I met at a Halloween party.
Whoa.
Men fix everything. I've always said it. Get yourself a man, honey. Get yourself a man. You'll never regret it. You struggling with your mental health? Get a boy. Get a boy. Bring him in. Ride his dick, you know?
Whoa, hell, solve they're everything. 18.
18? Come on, we're not a Catholic school now, bitch. Well, rush him off. No, come on, let's find a line. That's the line. I found it. We'll call it there. Go on.
Ironically, talking about Catholic school, Elle says that they met their boyfriend after randomly going up to his group and making conversation while she was dressed as a sexy nun, healing my Catholic guilt one day at a time.
Sexy, sexy stuff.
Mm. So he's into nuns. Mm.
Or Elle.
Maybe.
Yeah, or nuns. Put on Sister Act, watch his crotch, see what happens.
Oh my God.
Maybe it'll get hard.
Jeez. No, we got that. Nobody was like, maybe it'll get soft. Like,
maybe the little lesbians wouldn't know about erections or something.
She's not a lesbian. This is a girl.
The ones who are listening.
Okay.
Weaving about, listening away.
You think they don't understand?
Looking at a crotch.
You think the reason... I just love your logic that it's like, it must be that they're gay because they don't know anything about crotches. It's like, most lesbians know about penises and how they work.
Really?
Yeah. They just still don't want it.
And then when you found out about it.
Go on, Andrew.
Elle says, I've also been known to talk to absolute strangers, even people on trains.
Okay, Elle, you've gone too far. Babe, you've gone and back out. You're 18 and you're walking up to groups of strangers dressed as a nun and talking. You've gone mental.
Like, no, it's nice.
She's gone too far.
She's happy and confident.
She's 18 and she's talking to random men on trains. We have to rein this back.
You're right. It does feel like, she's going to get in trouble.
Elle does actually write that she almost has the opposite problem now, where she sometimes feels herself becoming annoying and talking too much.
Yeah, been there, babe.
But I am trying my best to remain more level-headed.
This is so nice.
Elle says, thanks so much for your advice. It really was true. And I think my shyness was definitely a small phase, which I shouldn't have overthought so much. Although I have changed, the podcast still remains a nice constant in my life every week.
Aww.
And
woo-hoo!
I am so grateful for it. Lots of love, Elle.
Lots of love, Elle.
Elle, this is incredible of a 180, but we do need to find the line somewhere.
Yeah.
But also as someone who, I take it too far and talk to people on trains sometimes, so I also understand it.
Helen, every single time we go for dinner, I feel like I'm third wheeling with you and the waitress. Every time, without fail.
I do very well with the help.
Every single time I'm like, I guess I'll just leave, shall I? Like, no, please. She's sitting down. Please join us. Like, I'm getting the water. It's crazy.
People are nice. It's nice to chat with them.
It is nice.
Yeah.
It My brother nice. Did that the other day. We went for breakfast for his birthday.
You have a brother?
Yeah.
You know this.
I thought you had a sister.
Yeah, Kerry. I have a brother.
I didn't know about the brother.
Yeah, Peter.
Peter, that's my brother's name.
Yeah. Yes.
Is he older or younger?
Older.
And who's the youngest?
He's 11 years older than me. So 35.
Thank you for not making me guess.
Sorry.
So your age? 11 years difference. Wow.
You have a brother?
Mm.
Huh.
Andrew's the youngest of 3.
Well, carry on.
But we went to a beef eater for an all-you-can-eat fry-up breakfast.
You went to a beef eater? I have not had a beef eater in so long.
What is a beef eater? Even if
it's a puff chain. It's like Green King or something. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he
for an all-you-can-eat fry up.
Yeah, yeah. So they had continental and a fry. It's the ones that attach to a Premier Inn, but we went not as Premier Inn guests.
Can I say it's just a hotel breakfast and all-you-can-eat fry up?
Basically. Is a Premier Inn a hotel breakfast? Yeah.
Yes, when they're attached to pubs.
Okay.
Oh, no, some Premier Inns do have their own... Anyway, let's not get into Premier Inns.
Some have their own rooms, but I don't trust the rooms. I'd rather go to the pub.
The crappy box one. You know, they're like, here's your breakfast in a cardboard box.
Oh, Travelodge. Yeah, that really
is. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
That's mental in a Travelodge.
Yeah.
I've got one right here. Let me put it on the camera.
Oh, my God. No, we're not advertising them. They're terrible.
The breakfast to go. Yeah, it was like £6 and it was really shit.
Yeah, it is.
What was in it?
A flapjack and some cereal, some UHT milk.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I'm now using it to store tax receipts.
Ooh, lovely. Oh,
never change. So what's Peter like? Is he the fun one?
Yeah, he's a bit more adventurous and outgoing, I'd say. But he
I'm obviously not the fun one in my family.
Andrew's the fun one.
Okay, wicked.
Carry on, Andrew.
Watch his eyes light up as he says, as he hears the word taxes. Taxes.
Yeah, but look, he's laughing. Taxes. He's having a nice time.
He loves them. He just shuddered with glee. Okay, go on. Peter, you and Peter.
We were at the breakfast with our whole family and my brother did exactly
what... Oh, you made
what...
it sound like you guys were hanging out, but it was a whole family.
Well, me, my mum, my brother and my nephew. Yeah.
You have a nephew?
Oh my God, shut the fuck up.
Sorry.
But he talks to...
Where did you have the time? I thought you lived here.
I still live with my parents. Oh, whoa. I've moved back to my parents for a few weeks.
In my head, Melbourne this week?
No, in my head, Andrew lives in the podcast studio.
Well.
This is like hearing about a teacher outside of school. Okay, go on.
This was such a throwaway anecdote. It really was.
I know, please.
But he talks to waiters and waitresses exactly like you do, Helen. Yeah. And he accidentally invited the manager of the hotel breakfast to come and sit with us while she explained at length for 15 minutes, I timed it, the economics of how the hotel breakfast works and how it compares to other fry up breakfasts in the area.
I'll bet you fucking loved that. I'll bet you loved the math. I'll bet you loved the math. Come on.
Yeah.
But oh my God, lady, don't take up all the space.
Premier Inn's breakfasts,
is it good?
Oh, I really think they've put so much effort in the last couple of years. In the bakery section, it's not just like the mini croissants, the mini pan au chocolat. There's crumpets, there's pancakes, there's wholemeal, white. They've got variety.
Any pan au raisin?
I think they've got mini pan au raisin, yeah.
I don't like a pan au raisin in its normal size. I think it gets too burnt at the edges and it gets a bit dry. Also, I don't like them enough to eat a whole one. What I love me is a tiny pan au raisin in a little hotel. And I love it.
A little one,
yeah.
Little food for little.
Because then I can have a little pan au chocolat and a little pan au raisin and a little croissant.
When you get the little croissant at the hotel, do you have one for pudding croissant and one for main croissant?
Yes, one with egg in, one with Nutella in.
Yes! I do ham and cheese. I do a ham and cheese one and then a Nutella one. And it's so fun.
I love hotel breakfast. Best Me hotel too. Breakfast I've ever had.
Go.
It's really bougie.
Go for it.
The Pig in Cornwall. And their breakfast is utterly sublime.
Oh, the
it's
Pig at Harlan
so
Bay.
So good.
Oh my God.
They do these big, warm, soft cinnamon rolls. They do every kind of fruit, just like so well prepared. They do the most beautiful yogurt, the most beautiful toast, the most beautiful eggs. All the little eggs come in in beautiful egg cups, and I know that's silly, but it just makes such a difference. The bread is stunning. Everything is, the jams, the everything is made fresh. It's just so...
Okay, that sounds so good.
So exquisite.
I'm trying to figure out the hotel that I stayed in with the best breakfast. That sounds really good, though.
It's just like, and it's also just like stacked. You know, when you're not like, oh, sorry, is there any more melon? You're just like, I'm in a cornucopia. It's like the Garden of Eden. You walk in and it's like, and you have to travel around it, but it's not so big that you get, you know, you're bothered by it. It's just, it's like being at a farmer's market where everything's ready to eat. That's what it's like.
I like privacy at a hotel breakfast as well. Like, I'm thinking of I've had good breakfast where it was awkward.
Yeah.
Okay, I had two best breakfasts at a hotel.
Go on.
One at a spa with my mother. And we went for breakfast one morning and it was just the quality.
Yeah, I believe
you. It was incredible.
I believe
you. But it wasn't a buffet setup, which is not my usual go-to. Mm. It was great. But then there was 3 weeks when I was younger where we stayed at like this really nice hotel in KL.
Oh my God. Little. Yeah. Well, that's going to be amazing.
And I can't find the name of it.
Oh my God. Actually, you just reminded me that I was stayed in a 7-star hotel in Manila when I was debating.
That's not a thing.
My university paid for it for us to go debate in the Philippines. And we were all kids who like had never seen anything like this in our lives. And compared to the juxtaposition with the poverty of the city was actually horrific.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
But we had never experienced anything like it. And I'll just say this. Omelette station.
Yeah.
Catherine, you walk up, they make the omelette to request.
This hotel in KL, it wasn't an omelette station. Baby, we had a sushi making station. We had a miso soup station. We had a like Malay bread, like roti canai, like everything fresh, like bread making. Like it was fucking insane.
Fuck.
I've stayed at many hotels with omelette stations. Can I say it? I've said it loads.
Whoa.
I love an omelette station.
I'm not even...
To the point where I think they go...
You're sick of them.
Oh my god! No, where was the one they put us in for Comedy Stop tour in Copenhagen?
Oh, I'd love to.
It
do
was
that.
Really nice.
Oh, I'd love to.
What
do
was
that.
The hotel called? I stole loads of pens from there.
Helen.
Adina, maybe.
Lovely.
Oh god.
Gorgeous.
Oh, two omelette stations.
Gorgeous.
The cheeses, the gems. Oh.
Do they really have two omelette stations?
Two omelette stations.
Yeah. Why?
Because there was that many people that wanted an omelette.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like free range, non-free range.
That's just a, yeah. If you want your hens battery farmed, you go to that one. Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense.
Oh, God. Breakfast is such a good meal. What did you have breakfast today?
Oh, okay. So it was actually delicious. So I was running late. And as I've told you, I've been a total bitch, so I was a bitch on my way.
Really, because you were early here today, because I was 1 minute late.
This isn't the first thing I did today. It's not the first thing I did today. Anyway, I was running late. And I went to Hoeka in Hackney Wick. Hoeka. It's a coffee shop. The coffee's delicious. They use ozone coffee. Yum, 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 yum. Put it in my tum. But they also do and I had to wean myself off because gluten doesn't love me and also because I was spending too much money in there. But for the first time in ages, I allowed myself to go in and get their vegan sausage roll.
Ooh.
Which sounds bad, but fuck.
Sounds good.
They've managed to get a consistency that is just... And the pastry is so salty in the best way that like the second it hits your mouth, you're like, fuck, it was... incredible. And it was raining all morning until I got to the station with my sausage roll, at which point for the 7 minutes while I waited for the train, the sun came out and I ate my pastry and only some of it went down my top.
That's the perfect breakfast.
Yes, yeah, it was really, really gorgeous because to have enough time on the platform, not having to eat on the train, you
to be
get
able
it
to stand and eat so you can get all the crumbs off you, so by the time you step on the train you've done with the eating. I love it when that
it
happens.
It was exquisite. How was yours?
Bagel with butter and Marmite. It's really nice.
Nice.
I love a buttery Marmite bagel.
I actually made my first good overnight oats the other day.
Did you follow the recipe from the jar that you took the picture of the other day?
Yes! But I sort of had to wing it.
Context for anyone is Catherine was eating these overnight oats from like a really nice coffee shop in London. And she was like, God, and the jar's so beautiful. It came in a glass jar. And she took a picture of the recipe. Did you take the jar home as well to reuse it? And then tried to recreate it. Did it work?
I nailed it.
Oh my God.
It wasn't quite as good as it. The secret is chopping up a couple of dates into it. And the secret is also coconut yogurt. And the secret is also a little vein of peanut butter through.
Vein?
A vein of peanut butter.
I didn't like that description.
All right.
Oh, Catherine, that was disgusting.
Okay, well.
Oh, dear.
Vein.
A vein. Vein, 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 vein.
Oh, an artery of peanut butter.
A clogged artery.
I probably have an artery of peanut butter. I did this podcast called...
Did another podcast.
I did somebody else's podcast.
Behind my back.
Yeah. And it's about when they take your phone off you and they look through your Amazon orders. Have you done this one?
No.
Yeah. And
I'll grab
I did
my
it.
Phone towards me.
And do you know what it's called, Andrew?
My mate bought a toaster.
My mate bought it. Thank you, God. My memory's awful. But I was only doing it the other week. Anyway, I did it. And
did you go through your Amazon?
They go through
and
your Amazon
stuff before you went.
No, because I didn't think to do that. Two things became apparent. One, I spent most of my money on my partners, so it was just me constantly being like, "Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that." And the other thing to say is the other thing I purchased with grotesque regularity and in huge quantities was peanut butter. I'd never really thought of myself as a person with a problem.
You order peanut butter on Amazon?
Yeah, because you can get those big, huge bulk tubs, can't you?
Shut the fuck up, can
in,
you?
In the description of your episode, it lists peanut butter twice.
Wait, read out the description of the episode. I want to hear
He did the math on how many kilos of peanut butter I bought, and it was honestly, like, so spooky.
There are breakups, pillows, peanut butter, bedding, a panic purchase, peanut butter, and a Scotch guardian angel.
Yeah. So listen, I think I'm really into peanut butter.
I'm into peanut butter too. Yeah, so it's the best.
And the point of that is to say that I think if you cut me open, I would bleed peanut butter.
God, that'd be a slow bleed out, wouldn't it? What? Don't apply pressure. There's no need. She's taking her time. Quickly, yum, mop yum, up the ground. Yum. People are going to slip. They won't. They'll get stuck. It's fine.
So yummy.
Get the toast.
I just love the stuff. I love the stuff, and I put it in everything. I put it in my bakes. I put it in everything.
Do you like when you have any? Do you ever make a laksa and put peanut butter in that?
I've never made a laksa. Oh my god,
it's the best! Like a noodle soup, like a big noodle soup.
Oh, sorry, okay, I
and
do
it's
know
like
what that
super
is.
Super easy. You just put like coconut milk and like red Thai curry paste, and then you just have to put in peanut butter and stir
yum.
It, and then that's the entire base. And it's like it's just the best base of all time.
Yeah, yum.
And you can make it so peanutty because then it sort of becomes like a satay laksa.
That sounds delicious.
It's insanely good.
Yum. I do like making a satay as well.
I think
yum.
We need to stop doing the episode because both of us are starting to get moist in the mouth.
Are we hungry
now? No, we both. I can hear our mouths get moist.
I ate too much cheese.
But this is special because we're going to end this episode hungry, and we started with your wooden teeth and now you've got wet mouth.
Oh gosh, do you think they're going to decay? What happens to wood when it gets wet?
Expands? Does it expand?
Imagine my face just gets bigger. Just like my teeth, wooden teeth.
Teeth just keep growing and a mouth can no longer close around it. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I've been Ellen
listening.
Bauer. This is the last time you see Catherine Bohart like this.
Bye,
have
guys.
Hello and welcome to the Executive Producers Lounge. Sit back, relax, and let us thank you. Simon Moores, Guy Goodman, Mary Fox, Annie Tonner, Stephanie Cataraccia, oh hello newcomer and welcome, Oliver Jago, Anthony Conway, Matthew Thomas, Madeline Quinn and Grace O'Reilly. Can we get you anything?
Oh, that was so creepy.
Thank you.
The can we get you anything was creepy at the end, did you not?
I wanted to go for Stepford Wife.
That is 100 Nicole Kidman.
Thank you.
Okay, wait, what should I do the producers list in?
Slumming it.
Like Pumbaa?
I want it to be like Ryanair like flight.
Oh, Ryanair. Hello.
No.
We're from County Dingle Doodle. What? wait. Isn't there a county called like Dingle or Doodle or something? What's it called?
There's a place called Dingle.
Dingle.
Sorry, just checking. What do you think Ryanair is?
An Irish airline.
Yeah, but like, it's not from Dingle.
It's not from, where's it from? Dublin.
Why don't you just do a normal accent, but that's like more like.
They're Irish people that work at Ryanair.
It's more quality. It's based more value in Ireland. For money. Think like Iceland.
Icelandic.
No, like
Stacey Solomon.
Thank
Kerry
you.
Katona.
Mom,
love Stacey.
Mom's
job at
producers.
Okay, breathe. Stacey. Boy, thank you so much to Richard Bicknell, Elle, Richard Bold, Sadie Cashmore, Zoe, Rachel Page, Helen A, Abby Wharf, Luke Bray, Kate, Dean, Dean Michael. I nearly said that wrong. Anthony, Sophie Chiffin, Kerry Smith. Give me a new one. I've got two more left.
Australian.
G'day, and thank you so much to our wonderful producers from down under, / you're probably in the UK. It's Victoria Hutchinson, Becky Fox, Tim Indorm, Roy Finkel, Doyle, Amy O'Reardon, Matt Sims, Tristan, Tez, Charlie A, Kai Soy, Hyla Wolf, Hype Briggs, Jam Rainbird. Stop, is that actually your name?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for your support, Jam. Please be single and please contact me.
Helen Rainbird. Jam Rainbird is a wicked name.
Jam, contact me. Helen Rainbird? Sorry, can you give me one more accent?
Texan.
Howdy. Howdy, partner.
They're all so close.
Y'all want to go to the cattle ranch? Y'all having sweet tea? Okay. I'm going to pray for you. The bigger the hair, the closer to God. Okay. I'm going to pray for you. Okay.
It's Forrest so Gump. Weird when you go for you.
For you. For you. I'm going to pray for
you.
I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Welcome
Why
to
is it so wide for you?
Welcome to Texas, and thank you. A big thank you to
Have
Claire.
You ever been?
Owen Jones. No.
You can tell.
No. Claire Owen Jones, Harold Van. No, come on. Okay. Texas. Texas.
This ain't Texas.
This ain't Texas. I know, hold on. Okay, no, okay. Claire Owen Jones, Harold Van Dyke, David Walker, Jess Nick, Rachel R., Neil Redmond, Sarah Molly, Tina Lindsay, Graham Marsh, Lear Overend, Liz Fort, Chloe, Emily G., and Ozzy Steph. Was that bad?
It sounded like the narration for like an American murder mystery podcast.
I thought it was like one of those sleep time, you know, the ones where you're going to go to sleep.
Wow. I was thinking about a big Texas man on a cattle ranch.
Make it stop. Hey guys, thanks for supporting the podcast. That we really appreciate you and we need you. We need you because Helen's alienating, if I may, with that kind of thing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.